Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, hour number two of our little radio show here. Astros win last night again. 5-2 was the final. Hunter Brown finally got a win. That was nice. And Jose Altuve passes Jeff Bagwell on the all-time hits list. Shea Whitcomb hits his first home run, Major League home run. So, good night. Really good night. And another, I mean, Cam Smith is on fire, okay? He continues. He had an 800 OPS in June, 800-plus, and now he's at 1,000 this month in just two games, but he's 5 for his last 10. And so, dude is just raking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I know Jacob Wilson, I guess he's running away with it. I mean, fans love him. But the media's got to look at Cam Smith for Rookie of the Year, what he's doing on a good team, a first-place team. He's hitting cleanup over 800 OP. His numbers over this last month, a little over a month now, have been incredible. So, I mean, you really got to – his war, everything about him is better than Jacob Wilson. So maybe this will work itself out. I mean, the Jacob Wilson, I mean, he took the league by storm because he's a rookie hitting over, you know, 350. That's great. That's nice. That's cooled off some. And, you know, and Cam Smith is coming on like gangbusters. Holy crap. Christian Walker seems to be seeing the ball much better, too. So that's a good sign as well. That's a really good sign. He likes hitting. That's his old division opponent, and so are the Dodgers. So maybe this is Christian Walker's. This is the, you know, this is where he breaks out a little bit and knows his stuff. We got that. We got USMNT winning. They're in the Gold Cup
CONCACAF
final.
CONCACAF Gold Cup.
CONCACAF Gold Cup.
They're taking on Mexico. So this is like,
yeah,
this is a big rivalry. It gets chippy out on the pitch. And it could get a little chippy around the stadium. We'll see. Hopefully not, because it's going to be for the U.S. fans. You're going to be in the minority. Yeah. One of our friends, Kevin Cooper, is listening to this. To you know, he's been to a lot of soccer matches. He's like, you have no idea how this one's going to shake out. This is going to shake out heavy, heavy Mexico.
Yeah. 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 Oh, well, let's go beat their ass. That's all
right.
It doesn't matter what fans are there. What matters is what score is scoreboard. But we're still not playing, right? We're still just going to play the guys that we're playing.
Well, there's no magic guys that are at late ads. Corey Pulisic's not walking through that door. He's not walking through that Astrodome.
No. The roster is the roster.
Carrying a bag of rats.
Yeah. Well, so but this is a real positive getting here, right? With this group?
Yeah. I mean, even with the questions coming in as far as how they played, this was a group.
There's World Cup people on that team.
That were expected to at least get to a semifinal. Now, if they had played Canada, people probably would have leaned Canada. But, hey, Canada didn't take care of business, so you got an easier opponent. You win that one. And this is about, as Lance said, he said World Cup guys, finding depth. Because the U.S. team, that even if they had their frontline guys, didn't have a lot of depth behind them. So maybe Malik Tillman, who's been a good part of this team so far, makes it. Maybe Diego Luna carves out a spot on this team, considering his goal-scoring acumen the last couple games. You got Chris Richards, who is a good defender, who probably would be part of your top 11 either way. So if you can find five or six guys who you can not just take to the World Cup, but they could be subs or maybe even find a starting role, I think it's a success. And considering the noise around the team coming into this tournament, Pochettino's done well. And now if you can beat Mexico, it kind of changes the perspective as we're less than a year away from the actual World Cup.
Dude, Diego Luna, who scored back-to-back goals in that first half, looked legit. Like, his creativity and striking, everything about him, it looked really, really good. He wasn't one of the ones who took a shot on goal in the shootout, though, did he?
Was he already I don't know.
He might have been off.
No, I don't know if he had already been taken off. He might have been. No, but he did not take a penalty kick. He wasn't one of the six who got up there and eventually beat Costa Rica.
All right, so we got that as well. Jabari Smith was on. What was this podcast he was on, though?
I had to pull it up. I don't know it by name. I just know, Rockets accounts started grabbing stuff from it. I don't recognize the man he was with, so I'll find that out.
Yeah, but Jabari's got his second contract now. So, and he got a nice deal, and he's set for life. Good on him. And now he's out podcasting, and he's going to be an important cog to what the Rockets are doing. He was here for the Steven Silas years, okay, and then now the Ime Udoka years, and it seems like it's a little different. It's a little bit different under Ime Udoka than it was under Steven Silas.
Yeah, I had always assumed that was the case. It's good to get some confirmation.
Yes, and the guys who were there. From the guys who were there, Jabari Smith was there, saw it, was part of it. I don't imagine coming. He came out of Auburn as everything about him was a workaholic and just nose to the grindstone, and he just couldn't be a better teammate and all of that stuff when he was selected, and then he comes to the Rockets in a Steven Silas Rockets team, and it was different. And here's Jabari talking about the difference between Silas and Ime.
Yeah, Silas was our first coach. He was a good coach, but like I said, man, couldn't nobody control that. It was just a wreck. You know what I'm saying? It was like, and if anybody know, Coach Silas, like, he's the nicest dude in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, he know basketball. He know what he's talking about. Yeah. It's just like, as far as controlling that, it's just like, it was tough for him. But Ime came in and put some, Ime, Fred, and Dylan came in and put some control on it.
I mean, everything we talked about is true. Yeah. I mean, it's just a confirmation of everything that you could tell from the outside. They were uncontrollable, and Kevin Porter Jr. had to get up out of there. All of them, all of them. Josh Christopher is just a bunch of young guys who had no direction from the coach, and that's just a great example of how. You had to have Ime come in and tighten things up.
Remember, there were veterans that left that were behind the scenes going, man.
Eric Gordon was one of them.
This is not an NBA team. This is not what the NBA is like, guys. You guys are just, I don't know what this is. But
Excuse me.
Yeah.
This is not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, and it showed on the court. It showed in the record. It showed everywhere.
Right.
As for Steven Silas, everywhere he goes, it's just crap.
Yeah, it was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was part of the podcast, the Dog Talk podcast. I found the name. But it's not surprising that Jabari Smith is just echoing. It was obvious.
It was obvious
from anyone who was just a passive observer of the Rockets that wasn't a team. That was a bunch of dudes just trying to hoop out there. They weren't cohesive. And, I credit those guys – for the most part, you listen to them, and they have no bad words to say about Steven Silas. It's just like, hey, he wasn't the right man for that particular job.
Well, I think what personifies or encapsulates the whole Steven Silas era is Kevin Porter Jr. outside the strip club at 6 a.m. trying to save his guys.
During COVID. When you weren't even supposed to be out at all.
And, you know, the cops are there. All the other Rockets just took off. And Kevin Porter Jr. was there with trying to save. Who got beat up? Who was it that got beat up by the guys?
Josh Christopher?
Was it Josh Christopher got beat up? Whatever. And the rest of the guys just abandoned ship. Kevin Porter Jr. was there, yelling about the cops were there. It was just, and, you know, somebody got jumped. That was that Rockets team. Not, you know, hey, let's win some games. Hey, you guys want to get in the gym?
It was the great Sterling Brown, not Kay Brown, the actor.
Booby Trap Strip Club is
Sterling
what it was called.
Brown.
Some Rockets players had started filing out of the Booby Trap Strip Club.
Rockets guard Kevin Porter Jr. reportedly got roughed up when he stepped in as a teammate, Sterling Brown, got jumped outside that Miami area strip club.
Well, you got to give it up for – apparently it was his idea to go to the booby trap, but you got to give it up. At least he was there for his teammate.
As opposed to the rest of the Rockets who ran.
Just took off.
While Sterling Brown's getting his ass kicked. Kevin Porter Jr. got fined $50K by the NBA for violating their COVID protocols at the time.
Yeah. Why? What? Strip club? Can't have a strip club?
Just can't be out and about.
COVID?
Can't put people at risk.
What if they were like 5 feet away? The girls were.
I just think it was part, hey, no public places like that, please. Just, we're trying to keep this league going, and we don't need Kevin Porter Jr. to be NBA patient zero.
Remember, they were in the bubble. Who was the player that went and got wings from the strip club?
Yeah, that was Lou Williams.
Yeah.
But that
Lou
was
Williams.
Not bubble. That was actually not. They were not in the bubble at the time that Kevin Porter Jr.
It wasn't a Rocket got himself in trouble for the bubble, too?
Dribbling.
He was having relations with one of the.
The staffers, I think. That was the accusation.
It was from Daniel House.
Yeah, Daniel House.
Daniel House got in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel,
and Jimmy Butler was bouncing a basketball and got people pissed off, bouncing a basketball in his room at night or something, and got other players mad, but they wouldn't say anything. They were too scared.
And then
my favorite was when he was being Kanye, Kyrie Irving, when he went through his Kanye phase, was like, I'm not going to play. He's like, I don't want to play. I don't want to play right now during COVID, but he could still get paid. So he said, I don't want to play. And they go, okay, but I am going to go to the bubble. And they're like, no, you're not. You're not going to the bubble.
You're not going to play. You're not going to the bubble.
He goes, no, I want to go to the bubble and hang out. I just want to go to the bubble and be part of the team. Like he's, and they go, no, you're not going to the bubble if you're not playing. He goes, and he tried to get the players.
He did. He went to the game.
No. He had a vote. Remember, he went to the other players.
He tried to shut down the league
because he couldn't go stay in the bubble.
He tried to rile them up to shut down the league.
And LeBron's like, nah, we ain't shutting
this
down. I got a chance to get a title.
And how much money it would cost us if we don't play here?
I'm convinced LeBron only went through with that because he had a chance to win a bubble title. And he did.
Well,
and he did win.
And some of it, I remember that the guys who were leading the Players Association were explaining to the guys that, hey, we got the collective bargaining agreement coming up. We're gonna lose out on a lot of money here and in the future if we don't play. So that was part of the math they were doing as well. But, yeah, Kyrie was like, hey, if I can't hang out with my guys – can we just not play basketball? And they're like, shut up. No.
Yeah. Remember the NBA was going to lose the TV money.
Yeah.
If they didn't get so many games, right?
Correct.
So
it was all.
We're doing this bubble thing.
Yeah.
Doing this bubble thing, people. Yeah.
And he tried to get it shut down.
Yeah.
I guess he was being an activist at the time.
Yeah, but wasn't he at the birthday party too?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why you couldn't take him seriously.
Yeah.
He had different rules from different days, and like, I want to go to the bubble. You can't go. Let's shut it down. We can't do this. It's too dangerous.
All right, we got a break. We got to talk about Texas Card House. Ain't dangerous there. All right, and I mean that. You feel safe. You've got huge parking lots at both the Texas Card House. They're both their locations. The one at Greenridge and Westheimer is right there next to Fuad's, and that's a big parking lot. Great parking lot. Safe. You get wanted when you come in. You got security there 24/7. And oh, by the way, both locations are 24/7. You can find a game anytime. There's a game going on right now, Texas Card Houses. So You got the bar is open until 2 a.m. A lot of places will shut down early. You want to go have a drink and play some cards. You got that. The bar is open till 2, but the place stays open, and the cards can continue to fly all night long. And I think the only night they close is Christmas night. That's the only night that they close. So you got that option all the time at Texas Card House. You got Hijack Poker app where you can play at home if you want, and you can deposit and withdraw the money at either Texas Card House location. So you want to play with cash, or you want to do it? You want to do credit card? You can do that at Texas Card House. A lot of times you can't do it with the apps, but you can do it at Texas Card House. You're looking for the best place to play poker, period. It's Texas Card House. Go to TexasCardHouse.com. See for yourself. Tell them that you heard it right here.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about, we got, I guess a lot of people were vacationing, right? It's the 4th of July tomorrow. We are off. But reminder, today we are all at, Landry Seafood House in Galveston, giving away those bikes, people. So if you're looking for a great way to possibly win electric bikes, $4,000 value. Go to Landry Seafood House today in Galveston and sign up. Just go to our promotion table and sign up.
That's you don't know this because you don't ask questions about the people you work with, but did you know that elite producer Sean Mapes comes from a long line of people who work at fireworks stands? Part of the family business is to sell fireworks at this time of the year. He has helped out. He's got, I think, an uncle who does it every year. So while we do Top Dog stuff, we have our own in-house legacy when it comes to people who do that. I don't know. I've never met anyone who's done that, who takes 2 weeks out of the year just to sell fireworks.
Sell fireworks. Yeah, I don't. You know, they pop up all over the place.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He doesn't have what do they say, a storefront. He's one of the people who pops up. I guess they get a location. And they just sell them out of a stand. I have never met anyone who's ever done that before. Apparently,
Mapes does this.
He helps out the family sometimes.
Well, you should know that. You guys work together every day.
Well, yeah, but
how is it that I?
Well, you don't ask anyone any questions. I'm just pointing out that you wouldn't have known that. You wouldn't know anything about anyone. That was just my point. Mapes is just an example of that.
You didn't know that about Mapes.
I did. I know it.
Now you do. Now I do, too.
But you didn't because you...
you didn't know it
but
before
I asked,
you knew it.
I asked questions about Mapes. That's how I found out. You would never ask the questions to find out. Hey, you weren't here for this, Lance. Have you ever met anyone who's actually worked in a fireworks stand? Sean Mapes does. His family has a legacy of working in fireworks stands. Yes.
No, but my kids need a job, so let me know. Holler.
It's a little late.
Oh.
A little late for that.
I mean, the 4th of July is tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Top Dog's still open.
That's true.
Well, they probably have, unless somebody just like, they said, hey, listen, I'm not going to be here for, they're actually, Top Dog's actually selling on 4th of July.
Yeah, up until midnight. Midnight, if you want to get
them. Like, come get it.
Well, it's a pretty focused day, you know, there's no other day. Well, I guess New Year's Eve.
Yeah, people buy them around then,
too. Yeah, for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is their time. I don't think their Top Dog's going to go, you know, I think we should take a break July 3rd.
No. But no. They do 4th of July like up to midnight.
Up until July 5th, pretty much. They're going to be selling fireworks.
Yeah.
So if you want
the rest
some,
of us are off eating hot dogs, right?
It's time to make money.
Yeah. I need my kids selling fireworks.
Time to get,
instead of bullcorning around.
Right. Is Mapes working all day?
These are the questions we'll ask today. Is he going to hop into the family business one more time? Is he a guy who, when they need help on July 3rd and July 4th, does he show up? Or is he no longer doing that because he's a big radio producer? The questions will be asked.
Right. Oh, is he too good for it?
These are the questions that will be asked. Is he too good to help his uncle? And I asked him about it. Is there Lance has his profile of a bedazzler? Is there a profile for a guy who operates a fireworks stand? He goes, yeah, they're pretty much all the same.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
They got Mapes hair.
I don't know about that, but he says his uncle who runs the place, all the other guys like who do that are just like him.
They're okay.
There's a profile for the guys who do
that. They're like Mapes?
Not like Mapes. The uncle is like all the other guys who do it. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, Mapes is just helping. He doesn't own it. But
yeah.
All the guys who make their money, at least part of their yearly earnings doing that, they pretty much fit the same profile. Put them all in the box. They're all the same. According to him.
Tony says Mapes' haircut alone has fireworks folks written
fireworks
all over.
Folk?
Fireworks folk.
Sean Mapes has that big firework energy. Hey, there's a listing of predicted all-stars. ESPN put this together for National League, American League. They had Bobby Witt going as a shortstop, which obviously is not the case. But from a reserve standpoint, it's the Astros we're talking about. Jeremy Peña is a make from a pitching staff. You've got Hunter Brown as a make, along with Chris Bubich, Garrett Crochet, Max Fried, Jacob deGrom, Carlos Rodon, and Fromber. They got Fromber and Shane Smith from the Chicago White Sox making it. So they've got Fromber making it, and then they've got Munoz, Hader, and Duran, the flame-throwing closer from the Twins.
Oh, we beat his ass.
Yeah, Duran. We did. I hope Fromber does make it. I think Fromber could be in some trouble if they take four relievers and they don't take eight starters. They're taking eight starters and only three relievers. If they go 7-4, we'll see. Because remember, every team has to have an all-star, and the White Sox only have Shane Smith.
That's all they need.
That would
one.
Be it. Yeah, that's all they
all
have.
All
they
need is one.
Yeah, but I just
and that's all they deserve is one.
Oh yeah.
Huh. They suck.
A lot of times there's a team that doesn't deserve anybody, but you get it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Did you guys see Mike Brown was hired by the Knicks? And it moved the Knicks into the second favorite now, betting favorite, to win the NBA title.
Wait, second favorite to win the NBA title?
Yeah.
Did they make an offseason move I'm not aware of?
Yeah, Mike Brown.
Hired a coach. That helps.
Well, on their roster, did they make a move?
Yeah, they...
Well, they got Gershon Yabusele. He's a backup big. They retained pretty much everyone. So the roster of a team who made the conference finals.
They picked up. They did make another. They picked up.
Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson. Gershon Yabusele. And they kept the core of their team from a team who made the conference finals.
They should be about fifth.
But Mike Brown puts you over the top, ahead of the Rockets?
Actually, they're probably going to be ahead of. You know what? They actually are ahead of. So Indiana lost Miles Turner. They don't have Tyrese Halliburton. You've got your enemies have lost top players to Achilles injuries.
Well, they're
Jason Tatum.
It's Oklahoma City, Knicks, and Cavs plus 800.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I wouldn't sleep on the Detroit
Rockets plus.
Where's the Detroit Pistons over there to win the East?
They're a ways down.
To win the East.
Yeah, a ways down.
Really?
I mean, well,
that
behind.
Seems silly based on the jump they made last year, and they're expecting. If you look at just what the Rockets did,
they're behind the Knicks, Cavs, and Magic. Anyway,
yeah, I was saying just to win the East, though, not to win the whole thing.
Right.
To win.
Well,
they're
behind the Knicks, Cavs, and not Magic.
That's four. That's fourth. That's pretty good. That's top
well.
Four.
No, I don't know that they're fourth. I just have those three ahead of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would take a little shot at the it's going to be a weak East. I would take a shot at the Detroit Pistons. They got a lot of young talent. They're doing a similar thing that the Rockets have done. There's a very you got a blueprint based on what the Rockets did and what could happen in a much less tough side of the draw. I like the Pistons as that come up team this year that might surprise. I mean, we've seen how quick Indiana jumped up. And how quick the Oklahoma City Thunder, relatively speaking, and the Rockets. It happens fast with young teams. It happens really fast with young teams. So look for young teams that have a chance to come up quickly in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you could make the same argument for Orlando, I suppose.
Well, Orlando's a nice
New York is just full of failure. The Knicks can never get there. The Knicks always do something that's bungling that takes them out of the
Well, like get rid of the coach that just got you to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I love it.
I mean, I can't be dumber.
Great ownership.
With no plan. When we come back, John Hollinger had some interesting comments about the Rockets and their acquisitions. We will play that sound on the other side. But right now we're talking about Chesting Ford. Talking about, I mean, this weekend they're going to be working. They've got employee pricing going on. I don't know how much longer that's going to last. It's been going on for a couple of months now. Not sure how much longer that lasts. I do know that you're always going to get a great deal at Chesting Ford. Not sure if they, you know, if they still got 2024s on the lot, which it's July now, they have to get rid of them. You want to talk about them making deals. But if you're going to buy a new vehicle, Chesting Ford, to me, is the place to go because you get a square deal, a transparent deal, no add-ons, no markups. This is awfully important in the business, okay? They're not trying to gouge you for every penny they can possibly get. It's a great weekend to go car shopping, get in, get out. You can do it all online, which in other dealerships you can't do it all online because they want you in there so that they can upsell you. That's not the case with Chesting Ford. Even online, they're gonna one of the first things they're going to ask you is, where do your payments have to be? Let's get you there so that you have a great car buying experience. That's what happens every single time at Chesting Ford. You're looking for that Ford SUV or pickup truck, I think there's only one place to go, ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chesting Ford.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Chill going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll take a look at what's going on over at DraftKings Sportsbook. What's going on? And we were just talking about the odds for the NBA. Let's see if you agree or disagree. John Hollinger was on with
Zach Lowe.
John Hollinger was on the Zach Lowe show. And he had this to say about the construction of this Rockets team.
I think it's been really good. I do wonder how this is actually going to play out on the court. I mean, there are no real wings on this team. And there is one point guard that they trust.
Well, what is Eason? What is Finney Smith and what is Amen Thompson? Are they not wings? Are they just everythings?
If you were building a team from scratch, you would have all of them at the four.
All right. Okay.
Now, that's Hollinger saying that.
That's Hollinger saying
that. So Hollinger has worked for an NBA team, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, Kevin Durant is a wing. I mean, as Amen, I guess Amen's not. He's a four. He started as a one, and now I guess he's a four.
And Kevin Durant doesn't play the three anymore. At least that's not his best position. Right. He's been a four for a while now. I mean, Amen is wing size, but I guess he doesn't. I guess he's saying he doesn't do wing things.
Because he's not a shooter.
Yeah, he's not a real ball handler. Although they'll give him some opportunity, space the floor, have him going one on one against a poor defender. He's not a spacer. He doesn't shoot the ball well. I guess technically he doesn't do things that a typical wing does outside of, you know, play great wing defense. I talked to Sean about this yesterday. I am interested to see how this offense flows because there wasn't a main guy. Like, Alpi was a hub. They give Jalen's opportunities. Because we were playing a clip yesterday about Kevin Durant. He was with Steve Nash and LeBron on their podcast discussing how NBA teams should work, how the stars should not be the ones who are asked to be robots. Like, they shouldn't have to fit into things. The stars are the stars, and then sure, the other guys have roles. So I'm wondering about the construction because, like, you know, Ime, as we heard from Jabari, he put control on this team. He's the biggest voice in this franchise. Does that change now? Does Kevin Durant have more to say about how offense runs?
That's a great
because
point.
He's Kevin Durant.
Because Ime was undisputed boss And right. Now this is one of the things that changes a little bit that people don't like talking about. They like to ignore it. But sometimes you have a very unique dynamic that surfaces when you have an all-time player. I mean, there's just no way around it. And he's an all-time player, Kevin Durant is. And, you know, will he get in line like the rest of them? Can he put him on the bench? I don't think he will. Honestly, I don't think he puts a Kevin Durant on the bench for being, you know, for not being as effective in a fourth quarter. You know, for whatever reason. You wouldn't expect Kevin Durant to be on the bench, but Jaylen had to catch bench. Everyone at different times has had to. Does Ime have the stones to do that with Kevin Durant? Would Kevin Durant take it as a professional? I don't know. I don't know on either one of those.
Well,
hopefully we don't find out.
That's one thing, but the offense, how the offense is going to run, I absolutely think you make sure that Kevin Durant is as happy as possible. I mean, allegedly, one of the reasons he didn't want to go back to Golden State was because he didn't like Steve Kerr's offense. So if you want to re-sign Kevin Durant here, make that deal a long-term thing, you know, even though it's Ime's team, you got to placate Kevin Durant. You got to make sure that he's happy in this in the offense. However Kevin Durant wants the offense to run,
mm-hmm.
That's how you got to do it.
I don't love that. I don't love that you're saying that, because that runs contrary to what has worked so far for the Rockets. But it's one of those things that happens where you have the dynamic of player bigger than coach.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he's bigger than coach, but I think you have to placate him. Well, I think you have to.
You're
make
just
him
telling
happy.
Me he is by telling me you have to make him happy and placate him. Then, right. Then he's bigger than the team.
Well,
in some ways,
making him happy doesn't make him bigger than the team. I disagree.
Really,
disagree wholeheartedly.
You have to make one guy happy is
well,
not bigger
you,
than.
You've got
do you
a
have
superstar
to do that for everyone else?
That you brought over uh-huh. for a reason. Why would you? Why would you antagonize him?
Not antagonizing, John. It's coaching. If you decide that if you have to make him happy, but you don't have to make everyone else happy, then he's bigger than the
team.
Well,
but that's your job, is to make sure everybody is comfortable.
Your job isn't to make sure everyone's comfortable; it's to win games.
Yes, in the offense, yes, that the offense is
okay,
as good as it can possibly
be. Yeah,
that's
fine. That's maybe we're having different conversations. But if Kevin Durant is not doing something right, it should be okay for the coach to say, "I don't care if you're happy; you're sitting down."
Well, that's a different thing.
Okay,
if
then we're
Kevin Durant's
about
not
things.
Playing well, then and whether or not you're going to sit him, that's a different story than how the offense is run.
Well, then we're talking about different things.
Yes, we're absolutely talking about different
because
things.
Because I do think Kevin Durant, in many ways, is bigger than the team. I think every superstar is bigger than the team on most teams. Rockets haven't had that situation with this. James was bigger than the team. LeBron James is bigger than that team. Like, it's he's bigger than the rest of the team. Is what I mean to say. Not bigger than the organization necessarily, but that's when you have guys making $60 million a year and you have coaches who are going to be the first one out the door like Tom Thibodeau. Yeah, you can't tell me superstars aren't bigger than the team. They are. And certain ones are one-of-ones. And Kevin Durant is one-of-one. He's not. Yep. He's a lot bigger than Alperen Şengün on this, even on the construct of his team. And probably in Ime's mind, because Ime knows this guy's won championships. I've coached him before. He knows what it's supposed to look like. He's not going to say it out loud, and nor should you say it out loud. But let's just be real. That's kind of, you know, that's the reality.
Apparently, according to – now, John Hollinger said they have one point guard that they can trust. Chris Mannix says that the Rock – I mean, it's a quick bite, so I can just say it. I mean, Chris Mannix was on a podcast, and he said that the Rockets think that Reed Shepard has got star – written all over him in the future.
Yeah.
And Bradeau just tweeted out that Cam Whitmore has been linked to the Lakers via trade. I hate that. I think Cam Whitmore may be a bigger loss going forward than Jalen Green. I think Cam Whitmore gets in the right spot. And Cam Whitmore is going to be a great player.
So the trade would be to the completion of the Dorian Finney-Smith sign. It turned into a sign-and-trade where Cam Whitmore is heading to the Lakers as the Rockets acquire Dorian Finney-Smith, since none of this is official. You saw the report that the Rockets may be involved in this giant seven-team trade, but it's pretty much all these signings that have already been agreed to. but you would like wrap them all together to make it more financially beneficial to everyone involved.
Like, there's nothing official with Clint Capela, right? Because there were some issues there too.
That's supposed to be a sign and trade.
Yeah.
So we're not sure what could go back, if it's cash or if it's a pick, who knows? But a lot of these things that have been announced, they're still parts of it. Not that they will change fundamentally, but you might look up and go, oh, this thing became this giant trade where the Rockets are sending Cam Whitmore as part of the exchange for Dorian Finney-Smith, and that maybe gives Dorian Finney-Smith more dollars, helps the Lakers obviously acquire an asset as opposed to losing him for free. So these things aren't set, but the players are going where they're going.
Yeah, Bobby Mark says the Houston-Durant trade, which was originally Houston and Phoenix, is now going to be a seven-teamer.
Yeah.
Biggest trade in NBA history.
It's just to make all the – and we knew the number – just to make numbers and player – certain teams want to get compensation back. Certain teams just want to get rid of contracts, but they have to bring back, you know, expired contracts. And so you just want to line up the teams with, hey, we'd like to have that. Oh, okay, we'd like to have that. That's fine. We can make all this work together. It's actually really smart that you have all these things come together and you just kind of hold them off and see if you can't patch them in all together at one time. It has less transaction fees that way.
If
the league charged every trade has a transaction fee of $15,000?
Yeah, every transaction has a fee. So if you guys just want to wrap all these together in one to save money, we can do that as well.
And then they put seven credit cards down, just split it ways.
The league operates like Ticketmaster. Understood. One thing about the Chris Mannix and Reed Shepard thing, I don't know many situations where the team believes a player is a star. And even though the coach is all about winning, that future star doesn't get on the court as a rookie.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know of many situations where he can't get time because whether he's not ready or the coach would rather just give a journeyman point guard more minutes than Aaron Holiday.
Well, and this is maybe where Ime maybe faltered a little bit last year. Is that he didn't think about more about the future. He was just thinking about get as many wins as possible now. I trust Fred. I don't trust Reed yet. So we're not going to develop anybody. We're not developing anybody. What we're trying to do is win as many games as possible, which is his job, you know. But also player development is his job as well. And he just said, you know what? I ain't got time for that right now. I want to win basketball games. So maybe the development of Reed Shepard was – I mean, he went down to the G League and he said he's too good for that, but apparently he's not good enough to be on the court.
You know, it's tricky because the Rockets were better than expected.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do if you're Ime? You're sitting there trying to win. You're sitting there trying – and it was a dogfight. With a week to go, it's a dogfight. Yeah. The Rockets trying to stay home court advantage. You're just not going to be in a situation where you're just going to, oh, let's just get this guy some minutes, and you ended up realizing, hey man, we got a chance to be top four. Like, we got to win as many games as possible. That's a huge thing to win, you know, to have home court advantage for as long as possible. And they did that. So I think it might have been, if the Rockets hadn't been as good as they were this year, had they been maybe a team, and it wasn't that far, being sixth and second was actually very close because of how the West was. But I think if you were in a scenario where you were the sixth best, you know, you were the seventh or eighth best team, or that's what you were looking like all year. Yeah, Reed may have played more, but it was hard to play him more when you're like, hey, wait a minute. We're really good this year.
We need to break because we got John Chill coming up at the top of the hour. We've been talking about fireworks. How about Top Dog fireworks?
Top Dog, I told you, these guys are open until midnight. They're open until midnight on the 4th of July. That's how serious they are about it. And they're going to keep going until everything's out of stock. I mean, they're going right now, and they still have a lot of great fireworks available for you for tomorrow's 4th of July. Go to topdogfireworks.com and find one of the 14 locations. Listen, they got Houston covered. Houston and the surrounding areas are covered by Top Dog Fireworks. When you spend $250, you're going to receive a special little reward for spending the $250 while supplies last. But it doesn't stop there. You're going to find that buy one, get one free wall that they have available at all the locations. Get in while supplies last, because you're going to maximize your dollars And speaking of maximize your dollars, listen, a Porsche, Top Dog Fireworks and all their locations are going to be open tomorrow until midnight, and it's your last chance to stock up for the upcoming celebrations, weddings, birthday parties, engagements. You know, you can shoot fireworks off for really for anything, for birthday parties, whatever the case may be. So don't miss out on getting your hands on these awesome fireworks they have available at Top Dog Fireworks. They're the biggest in the city. And to find a location near you, go to topdogfireworks.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.